I'm Jane Johnston and I run the Careering into Motherhood Facebook group and coaching program, and I'm host of this podcast. Our next coaching program called Path to Your Future launches on the 10th of June, and we would love to have you on board if you are grappling with the idea of what to do next in your career. Maybe you're looking at returning to work, or maybe you want to do something completely different. You're just not entirely sure of what, when, or how. We are currently helping a group of amazing 12 women who have all come up with a plan for their next steps of their career in just 5 weeks. So if you would like to know more details and you'd like a brochure on the program, please email me, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. This episode of the Careering into Motherhood podcast was recorded during Mental Health Week and talks about post and antenatal mental health. Please be aware that my guests today talk very openly about their experiences of some quite severe mental health issues related to maternity. If you're affected by any of these issues, please seek professional help from your doctor or health visitor. One of the things that comes out in all of the interviews was the positive impact that it had once these women started to seek help and advice. There's a link in the show notes to Cocoon, which is a family support charity that helps families affected by anti and postnatal mental health issues. Literally the first night after my son was born, I think my postnatal anxiety kicked in. It had been a traumatic birth that resulted in emergency C-section, and he'd had the cord wrapped twice around his neck. And that was all I could think about that night on my own in hospital. He came home and it was almost immediately obvious that something wasn't quite right. He was soon diagnosed with acute silent reflux, eczema, and intolerances to wheat, dairy, egg, and soy, on a daily regime of more drugs and creams and powdered milks than I really ever want to remember. I became almost paralysed by a fear. I felt like I'd failed at something that other women seemed to take so naturally in their stride. I can't say I enjoyed my maternity leave. And it was actually going back to work 8 months later that really helped me to get back on track. But I almost didn't go back to work. And I remember that first day getting on the train and almost getting off again at the next station to come home. I'll be eternally grateful that I took the right decision for me to go on to work. And today I'm talking to Barty, Kate and Kathy, who openly share their experience. My first guest today is Barty Lim. She's a consultant working in cybersecurity and runs her own small business that has a focus on mental health. Barty has two small children and is talking to me today about postnatal depression and how overcoming it has shaped her career and what she's doing now to help other women. Thank you so much, Barty, for agreeing to come on the podcast. We're obviously talking about postnatal mental health, and that encompasses a huge array of things, whether it's depression, anxiety, or other mental health issues. And I'm particularly interested in the impact it has on women's careers and how we feel about going back or not. Can you tell me a bit about your story?
I suffered from not just postnatal depression. I was actually suffering while I was pregnant as well. But I suffered from postnatal depression after my second child, quite severely actually, to the point where I was suicidal. So it was quite very severe. But it wasn't the typical can't relate to my baby or any of those things. It was actually it was a very different scenario where I just felt like I wasn't worth anything. But I loved my baby, and you know that's the reason why I kind of got through it. But as I went through all of that, I was obviously on maternity leave and there was lots of different factors. I didn't want to go back to my job. So yeah, it kind of all happened at that point. And then I had to return to work.
And so you were in what I call a PAYE job. How long did you plan to take off and how long did you take off?
So I planned to take off the entire year, which I did. And then I decided that I wasn't going to go back to my old job. Things had happened before, which I think were probably also part of triggers of things that happened to me that kind of contributed to the postnatal depression. So I decided that I was going to make a fresh start. I didn't know what that fresh start was. So I tried a couple of different things. But to be honest, in all honesty, my confidence was at such a low that I think anything that I was trying to do was such a bad fit because I just didn't believe in myself anymore.
You're so brave for coming on here and talking. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about how, not how you felt, obviously that's very raw and very personal, but how did you cope day to day and how did you find the strength to find a path out of there?
So I think I just ignored it for a long time, to the point where I had got to the point where I, you know, I was like, this is it. I don't want to be here anymore. And I talk about this because I, in addition to my day job, I also run a business, which now focuses a lot on mental health. And so I do share on there. So it's not something I hide because I think it does need to be spoken about. But to the point where I sent a text message to my husband and told him that I wanted to kill myself. So I didn't cope. I didn't cope very well with the whole situation. And then once that had happened, kind of some of the power had been taken away from me because I'd now told somebody what was going on. And then because I didn't look like a typical person suffering from postnatal depression, the response I got to anyone I told was like, but you have friends, you go out, you've made new friends, you're doing things, you love, you know, you love your baby, you're always dressed and made an effort and all of those things. So for a little while longer, I carried on thinking, no, I was absolutely fine. But when I got to the point where I couldn't stop crying for absolutely no reason at all, I knew that I needed to call somebody. So I called a healthcare worker who told me to call the doctor immediately. And I went to see the doctor and they gave me medication.
And how did you feel about taking that medication? I think I personally felt quite a lot of stigma around that, or maybe that it was a sense of weakness that I couldn't cope with something that was supposed to be what, you know, women are made to do. Did you have any of those feelings and did you have counselling?
So I did to some extent. I think my bigger concern was actually the side effects. I wasn't keen because I was worried about when I want to come off them, then I wouldn't be able to come back off them very easily. And also when I saw some of the side effects, I was really worried about what they would be. You know, I did take some. I took a smaller quantity because the doctor insisted I took some, because I was so severely suffering. And I did. I started to take them. But because I started grinding my teeth, I found that was actually stressing me out more than what was causing the problem. So eventually I stopped taking them, and the doctor agreed. But then I had to go in and see the doctor every 2 weeks so she could concentrate. She could check that I was doing okay. And they gave me lots of places to call and all the things that I can sign up and do. And she suggested counselling, but I just wasn't in the right place for counselling at that particular point.
There's so much stuff that's not talked about from the moment you get your clear blue test that says, you know, yes, yay. Whether it's helping to prepare your career or whether it's helping to prepare for some of these darker times, you know, I did NCT classes and other antenatal classes that are out there. They briefly touch upon the fact that you may have the baby blues, but they never really go into it. And I think by not talking about it, as you say, and then there's not that much spoken about. And I do think it's one of the contributing factors as to why so many women drop out or fall out of the workforce in that period after the first 2 years of having a baby. Was there anything you suspected you might experience before you had your children?
So I think I've suffered on and off for depression before, not to this extent. To this level. When I actually had my first baby, I was worried I'd get it and I didn't, strangely enough, but I found it harder when my first son was born. I couldn't get my head around that I was a mum. So I actually expected it more then. Whereas with my second baby, I loved him from the second he was born because I was already a mum. So I guess that feeling's already there and it's not unnatural. So then the second time I thought I wouldn't get it at all, which is so strange because that's when I did. But I do think it's not talked about. And I also think there is a preconception of what to expect. So in my head, if you were to get postnatal depression, you would be withdrawn. You would be at home. You would not want to be around your baby. You might have thoughts of harming your babyness, or, you know, and it's obviously not something that's on purpose, but it's because you're not happy. And there's soaps that are doing this storyline at the moment, and it makes me cringe because I think, please don't let that be the only way it's shown, because that's not true. I wasn't like that. And so when the healthcare worker came to see me, because she started making regular visits as well, she just said, I would never have spotted it because you don't look like someone who's got postnatal depression. And I did. I made lots of amazing friends who are my friends now whilst I was on that maternity leave. I went out for coffee mornings and I got dressed and I looked okay and I was happy and I had everything I wanted. But I didn't meet the normal criteria of somebody either. So I think it's not talked about enough, but I also think it's also very stereotyped.
Yeah, yeah. How are you now? How do you feel about things and about that time? Is it behind you? Do you think you ever put it behind you?
I don't think you ever get fully 100% ever again after that. I think it's just a case of finding a way to manage and managing it really well. After I came off the medication, there was lots of little things that I did which kind of helped me get back into working. But once I got back to work, I realized I still wasn't okay. I still didn't believe in myself. I didn't believe that I'd got the job because I was very good. There's all sorts of factors. It's actually, funnily enough, it was a job that I found through careering through motherhood, actually, from a post that I put up, and somebody contacted me and said, I'll help you find a job, because I work in IT security. Part-time jobs for women, for anyone, are very rare. So I did go back to work, but I then went to counselling, because I wasn't okay and I needed the help. And that's made a massive difference to how I am and feel and what my process is when things are bad. And obviously with the situation we're in right now,
yes,
it's obviously it's a huge factor on my mental health. It's something that I'm talking about a lot on my business at the moment, actually, about self-care and looking after yourselves.
Yes. So you have a day job and you also have your own business. I mean, that sounds, as well as having children, that is a phenomenal workload. Do you think that's one of the ways that you cope, in inverted commas? And do you think that the postnatal and antenatal mental health experience that you had has affected and shaped your career?
So originally I started the business while I was on maternity leave with my first child, which is about 4 years ago. And it was because I was considering not going back. Again, like I said, because part-time jobs in security are so difficult to find. But I think it gave me a creative outlet, something else to think about, or less to think about. It gave me a different thing to do where it wasn't child-related and it wasn't related to my day job. It just gave me something I enjoyed doing, and I enjoyed giving, you know, making the items and then them being passed on to a customer, and they enjoyed them. And at one point, while in the midst of counselling, when I had my postnatal depression, I was going to give up the business. And so I went into my counselling session and said, that's it, I'm done. I need to take the pressure off myself. And then about 2 months later, I spoke to somebody and I realised I could use my business for something really, I think, amazing. It might be small scale, but it's amazing. And now I focus a lot on mental health in my business, and I support the Counselling Foundation, which is a charity that provides counselling to people on low incomes, because I think counselling changed my life. It's changed how I work. You know, I joke about this to my manager, saying the person you hired 2 years ago isn't the person you've had for the last year and a half, because the person he's had for the last year and a half has put herself out there. She's said things when she wouldn't have done them before. She's lost the fear. She works better, you know, and all of these things all came out of that. So yes, like, postnatal depression changed my life. And I think I'm a much better person and a much better employee, as bad as it sounds, than I've ever been, because I am focused. I know what I need to do. I talk about my mental health. You know, I there's just so many things that I do that I wouldn't have never have done. I've started blogging that I've been so scared of doing for years, but I wanted to do. And I think I've put out 6 blogs this year, work on LinkedIn, where I have the fear of being, you know, shut down and talking about the incorrect things, but I've taken that away and put myself out there.
Well done, amazing. And do you think, you know, this, the sense of you've survived that really dark period, and is that what's given you a renewed confidence? I mean, this, I suppose, let's have a chat about this thing of confidence, because so many women that I know, after having children and trying to return to the world of work, it seems that it's no longer fit for us. It doesn't seem to, you know, help us. And yet we've just done the most incredible thing and produced another human being, we should return feeling incredibly confident. Do you have any thoughts on that and why that is?
I think taking a year out from anything and then not having an adult conversation in the same way and feeling out of the loop is quite difficult. I think a lot of employers, you know, as much as they try, you know, 50% of them do try and help you back in. And I, when I went back the first time, because I work in a very male dominated role, they had treated me like I'd just gone off on paternity leave. So I came back and there was no additional support. There was no training. There was nothing. And just to make it worse, my manager at the time, who was a new manager who had taken over, who did know me, did a review and said I wasn't ready to come back to work. You know, and that really broke my confidence because I was like, oh my God, am I that bad? You know, that I've taken a year out and I'm unable to do my job.
Yeah. So what did they review? I cannot understand.
I have no idea. I don't know how it came about because I thought I was doing a great job. But clearly that was, and it wasn't something that was discussed with me. It was just put on an official review to say my quarterly review. And I think that didn't help when I had my second maternity leave and was also a factor of my fear of going back to work. And I think another factor is that, and I always say this to a lot of people, and it's really affected me actually during lockdown as well, is that when you become a mum, you are always attached to a child and you are always with somebody, whether it's your NCT friends or your, you know, any of the mum friends that you made, or your husband or your partner or your mum or whoever's coming to help you out, or your children, you're never alone and you're never left to do something on your own. So in order to kind of kick myself out of the rut, and I found this incredibly hard, I took myself off on holiday in my maternity leave on my own. So I went to Cyprus for 4 days and I physically was sick before I left, and I was sick at the airport because I felt so guilty for doing something for myself and taking myself away from my children. And my son was about 10 months at the time. But my husband said to me when I got back, he said he could see the difference in me after I got back. And I think that was a big factor. I think going off and doing something on my own for myself and then taking the guilt away from it, because once I was on the plane, I didn't care anymore. I was like, okay, there's nothing I can do now. It made the world of difference to me. And I think that's something we don't do.
Yeah.
As mums, we always feel guilty for everything.
Yes.
Take time for ourselves. If we have a career, you know, even now my husband's actually furloughed and I'm the one working, and the guilt I feel for the fact that I'm not around my children.
Really?
It's crazy.
Well, I just think you sound like the most incredible woman, and I'm really grateful to you for coming on and sharing your experience. And can you just tell us your business for anyone who wants to support? Because obviously you're working with mental health charities. What's your side hustle?
So I personalised. They're not all personalised anymore, but I do make like T-shirts and things. It's called Beautiful Creations by Bee. And I've been fundraising during COVID-19, and I've raised over £6,000 for PPE, Age UK, Refuge, and that's in addition to the Counselling Foundation.
Oh, so what's the web address?
It's www.beautifulcreations, which is B-E-E, because I'm known as Bee, beautifulcreations.com. I talk a lot about my mental health on there because I think it's good to share so other people know they're not alone. So I do share the stories of how I'm feeling or what's going on or what's happened in the past that's affected me, as well as doing positive clothing that if you put it on, you feel better. Even if it's just for a day, it all helps. And then again, like I said, it donates as well. So it's all feel good clothing.
Great. Thank you so much. And you're so brave for being able to talk about it like this. Thank you very much, Barty.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
My next guest is Kate Peters. She's a director at JLL, a large multinational property firm. So she obviously had a senior role and experienced postnatal anxiety after both her children were born.
So we have two children, two girls, born in 2014 and 2016. I was 35 when our first child was born and had been very much on the lookout for baby blues, particularly after the NCT classes.
And that's interesting. I did NCT as well. And I have this thing that they don't really alert you very much. I think it's just touched upon briefly. And as you say, it was kind of called the baby blues. And my own experience was much worse than that. Do you feel that the NCT did cover it?
Not as much as was necessary. It was never really broached. I mean, we knew it was kind of 1 in 10 women had postnatal illness. And I, in a history of depression in our family, so I understood the signs of depression. But I knew what I didn't have was depression. I could get up, I could have a shower, I could function. But increasingly, I became scared of leaving the house. I would erupt into hysterics quite regularly. I was frankly scared. I was scared of leaving the house and being seen as a failure. I frankly just did not know what I was doing. And eventually, it was diagnosed very quickly as postnatal anxiety. It got to the point where I wanted to throw myself down the stairs. I'm a very rational person, and I lost my rational thought process, which I knew that something wasn't right, but I just thought it was normal. I thought it was normal to not sleep, to not eat, to never be able to relax. I thought it was just what happens to new mums.
That's really interesting, actually, because we're all not fed, but you read on social media all this kind of stuff about that is just the life of, you know, of a new mum and or new parents and having a newborn. You're not going to sleep. You're not going to feel like yourself. You're not going to have time to eat. And that's a really interesting point. That actually, where's the line between that is the life of a new parent and actually, no, there might be something a bit more to this.
Exactly that. So it's exactly what that happened. So I quite openly acknowledge that I want to throw myself down the stairs. I don't want to kill myself. I want to break my leg so I can go back to hospital and have a break. And even though that was a quite strong feeling, I still knew that what would probably happen is that I'd be put in hospital with my broken leg and then also have to look after the baby. It wouldn't get to the point that I wanted to get to.
Mm. And did you talk to anyone about this? I mean, your partner or?
Oh, very much so. I spoke openly to my partner. My partner works in the field of mental health anyway.
Oh, really?
And my in-laws are very close by and I get on very well with them. My mother-in-law was incredible through this whole process. One day I threw my eldest. I didn't throw her hard, but I threw her onto the cushions on the bed. And that's when I thought, this is not right. I am not okay. There's more to this than just the exhaustion and the tiredness and the sudden loss of my former free life. And fortunately, I had a very good social visitor, I can't remember their name, health visitors, who got me in to see a very good GP incredibly quickly. And at work, I very also fortunately have private medical cover. And I was seen and treated within a matter of weeks and recovered incredibly quickly.
And how much of this did you talk about with your employer? Did it have an impact on when you returned to work? Did you return to work? All of that kind of thing, impact on your career?
Yes, I spoke at length with my office about it. My boss at the time didn't have children, but was very understanding. I went back to work after 11 months or so. I mean, and work offered this a pre-maternity leave short training course, maybe half a day or so. When I returned to work, I thought what we really must do as a firm is talk to our parents that are about to go on leave and talk to them about the fact that this is something that can happen to them. And coming from a large professional corporate background where often many mums leave having children a little bit later in their lives, can often live further away from their family because of those commitments, and feel that possibly that they're at a stage of life where they've kind of got it together. You've pretty much got life down.
That's exactly how I was.
And you suddenly think, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. I can't go to any of my normal coping mechanisms. So I felt that we had a responsibility to talk about this openly. And as a firm, we do now. And it's very much on the agenda.
So is that for women when they, you know, kind of announce they're off on maternity leave, you have a bespoke kind of course or program or whatever it might be for them? That's fantastic.
Exactly that. And it's it can't go too far because you don't want to scare people.
That's the thing, isn't it?
And they're at that beautiful stage of, you know, this is going to be wonderful and I'm going to have the best experience. And obviously you wish that to be the case. But I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that for some of the people in that room, mums and dads, that it might not be the
Pampers ad.
Pampers ad, exactly.
Yeah, it's so true. I think that's fantastic. I've never heard of an employer offering that kind of thing before. My own personal experience was that I was expecting it to be the Pampers ad, and when it wasn't, I think it almost compounded that sense of guilt or anxiety, whatever it was, that I wasn't having the joyous experience that I told myself I must have on maternity leave. And sorry, so we were talking about how you returned to work. Did you go back at the time you thought you would and everything was fine? You'd got yourself...
Yeah, I was ready to go back. After the first... So as I said, I was treated very quickly. I was on a mild course of... It annoys me that they're still called antidepressants because I didn't have depression. It was anxiety. And I still get frustrated about that now. So I took those for 6 months, but... After my first daughter was born, I felt myself come back. I was like, oh, there I am. There's me. You know, let's crack on with this now. And it was quite a short-lived illness, but obviously, you know, with longer term impacts. So yeah, I went back full time. Work offered me to work from home for 2 days, which I said, oh, I don't need that. But then obviously, I was very grateful. And everything was great. And our second daughter was born in 2016. And this time when I got sick, it was much harder. It was much quicker, much more marked. But I think possibly I knew what I was looking out for. And again, very quickly, I was like, I need to be treated. And then taking the medication this time was the start of it was a lot more difficult. It was a lot more difficult. It was much darker, much more frightening. But I don't know, you know, the medical reason for that or the scientific reason, if there's a particular reason for that happening, if you take antidepressants for a time and then stop and then start again. Through that time, I think I probably stopped taking them too soon. Going back to the previous time, thinking, oh, I was fine last time, you know, perhaps I stopped taking them too soon. So it was more difficult returning to work the second time. I went back for 3 days.
With the same employer?
So, yeah, I've been there for nearly 20 years. Yep, same employer. And that I found very difficult, very, very difficult, and struggled through for about a year on 3 days, and just that I can't do this anymore. I need to increase my hours because I can't fit the role in 3 days.
Mm.
It just meant I stopped running around like a crazy person, you know, running from the kids drop off, running on the train, laptop open, tap, 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 all the way. I was about a 45-minute commute, tearing across central London into the office, just that constant feeling of being behind.
So increasing your hours, what, you put some additional childcare in place or something? So why would that increasing your hours have an impact on not having to run around so much?
Because I was working from home. So the extra day I work from home.
Right.
So the fourth day I don't go up to town. I work from home. So I don't have, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours of commuting either side. But going back the second time, the level of mental health offering at work had increased even more so. The attitude towards working parents had changed again in terms of flexibility and working from home. So it's been great to see the company change really quite significantly from a firm where I started, as I said, nearly 20 years ago, where there were the number of professional women you could count on a hand that were in the office, very, very few. No one talked about babies. No one talked about flexibility. It just didn't exist.
And that's all changed.
Hugely, hugely, yeah. It's changed. But I appreciate that. I think I'm probably in the minority there.
I think so, as you can tell. And I work in this sphere and I'm almost flabbergasted. So, and it just proves as well that it does have an impact. If you make these tweaks and support women, they will come back mm-hmm. and they will stay. Mm-hmm. And has it impacted you in terms of confidence, or as in, I mean, sound, you've obviously recovered from it, and almost that being able to recover from it twice must be quite self-endorsing.
Yes, absolutely. And I have absolutely no inhibitions about discussing this at all. And I feel that really the only way that we get this talked about is for people to be honest and to share their experiences, because you mentioned a little bit and so many people think, actually, yes, that is what happened to me. I didn't even know it was a thing when I had it. I didn't even know postnatal anxiety was a thing. And, you know, that's only 6 years ago that it happened. It just was called depression. And I think the world has got better in the last 6 years. I openly advocate talking about it at work. I've written some pieces that are shared across our central intranet. There's 4,000 employees in the UK, and I will happily discuss it. And so it has given me a sense of confidence to talk to senior managers about the reality of what's happening, and for them to understand that this can happen to their employees, to engage with them, to talk to them.
And do you feel there's any... Well, obviously there is huge stigma around it, but in terms of when you go back, have you seen any instances where it's seen as a, well, she might not be able to cope, so let's not give her that extra big project or that promotion, extra responsibility?
Yes. At work, I'm also the co-chair of the Working Parents Network, which is a great role to have. I've had the great benefit of very supportive seniors who have been incredibly open to flexible working. But also when we return to say, what do you feel you can manage at the moment? How do you feel ready? Let's start off with some smaller projects until you're happy. And then as and when you're ready, step up to the larger projects. But you hear stories of, and it's awful, people going back to their desk and their desk isn't there anymore. Or their whole team have changed around them. Nobody even realized that the person was coming back to the office. And that's incredibly sad, and the chances of us as a firm of losing that person are quite high because they feel very unsupported. So I feel it still comes down to the line manager and their own experiences. And as a firm, I think, you know, we're at the point now where we're training line managers about flexible working and working parents. They may have had a very different experience. The chances are when they were in the position when they had young children, you know, a partner may not have worked at all.
Yes.
So they're coming from a place where they don't really understand what's going on.
Well, I think all of this stuff that you're doing, talking about it, raising awareness, writing about it, you know, it can only help. And it's amazing that you've seen such rapid change in your own firm. And I hope others listening to this will take note. My final guest is Kathy Adams, whose own experience led her to becoming a trustee of Cocoon, a charity that helps families affected by maternal mental health issues. She combines that with her finance advisory business. So, Kathy, thank you very much for making the time to join the podcast this morning. You've got a very interesting backstory, such that it led you to work and be a major part of a UK charity that supports families impacted by postnatal depression and other related mental health issues. Can you tell me a bit about your story?
So I had my first son, he's actually going to be 7 on Monday, so 7 years ago. And I had postnatal depression after he was born, and actually looking back, probably antenatally as well. So I'd had quite a hard time in the run-up. So initially, I'd been trying to get pregnant for about a year. Nothing had happened. I then found out I had a massive tumour that it turned out to be a fibroid and wasn't cancerous or anything. It was kind of so big that I had massive surgery. So a week in hospital, 6 weeks of work type magnitude.
Yeah. So very traumatic before.
Yes. And going into that kind of a 50-50, you're going to wake up from the operation not able to have children. So I think stress of that. And then I got pregnant very quickly afterwards. literally his due date was a year from my surgery date, which A was fantastic, but B, and they told me it was okay, but it meant I had a physically very difficult pregnancy.
Right, yes. So extra worry for extra you worry. During the time that is usually quite a happy time for
yeah.
people.
Yeah, and also I've got a family history of complications in very late pregnancy. So my mum had had two stillbirths.
Oh, gosh.
So I think just I never let myself actually believe I was going to have this baby. I wasn't prepared for it.
Yes. And did you do things like antenatal classes? Or?
Yes, yeah, I did everything yeah. and I kind of felt I was okay. And then I think added to the stress, they told me I was okay to try and have a natural birth. Really wanted to have a cesarean because I was very worried about where I'd had the surgery before. They were kind of saying things like, it's okay, but you've got to be monitored all the time. So I couldn't have had the type of birth I'd ideally have wanted. And kind of, if something goes wrong, the first sign will be you won't feel it, it'll be the baby getting distressed. And if you're in labour for more than 24 hours, you'd have to have a cesarean anyway. And then he was kind of 2 weeks overdue. And I actually phoned my surgeon from before, who said you definitely shouldn't be trying to get induced or anything. So in the end, I did have a kind of elective section, in that I never went into labour, but it was all very stressful. I just think all those things added up.
Yes.
And then I think I knew that I had postnatal depression very early on after he was born.
How did you feel?
I just felt that I kind of got this baby. And it wasn't that I didn't love him or bond with him. I just didn't know what to do with him. And talking about the interaction of that and work, I'd kind of been quite a high level finance job in the city for a long time. So I was very used to kind of knowing what I was doing.
Yeah, as a common theme.
Yeah, and then suddenly it's kind of like you've got a new job. That's
yes, with no training and no manager.
And just, yeah. And I think I'd also gone from, I worked until probably 2 weeks before his due date, almost to block out the kind of stress I was talking about. And I think I've been so used to kind of the mental stimulation that suddenly to go to nothing really affected me as well.
Yes. And it is so routine, isn't it?
Mm.
Whereas when you're in a job, anything comes up. I mean, in the early days, it's just keep doing the same old.
And I think people around me knew I was struggling a little bit, but kind of just thought, sleep deprivation. And then I can't remember, probably about, is it the 8-week checkup where you go to the doctors? I kind of try to tell them.
What, that you just didn't feel?
Yeah, you know, when they ask the question, there's the questionnaire that has, and I think on that particular day, I was having quite a good day. Because some days I thought I was fine, and some days I kind of knew I wasn't. So they didn't pick it up there. And then I think about probably around 3 months, I kind of knew, definitely. And I left a message on the midwife's voicemail. I think I told some of my friends. And then I think it was that at that point, so I had quite a lot of anxiety. He started sleeping through the night.
Right.
So I think I was breastfeeding and I was finding it really difficult. At some point, I just gave him a bottle of formula. And once he'd had one, he refused to breastfeed after that. And at that point, when he started on formula, he started sleeping all night. But I still woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning. So insomnia was one of the major issues I had, one of the symptoms.
Yeah, it's that fine thing in the early days. How do you know where, the insomnia, the tiredness, that the normal stuff actually starts to encroach in? No, this is not normal. Mm-hmm. And you were obviously in that place where you were thinking, no, this is not just the normal.
Yeah, definitely
stage.
And then I'm not sure how long that period of time was where he was sleeping and I wasn't. And then one day I just phoned my mum at 6 o'clock in the morning. I think on a Sunday morning, and told her. And then when my husband woke up, I told him, because I don't think I'd actually told him I thought it was depression up to then.
Right. You just carried on, did you?
Yeah.
And I guess he had gone back to work?
Yes, he'd gone back to work. And I think I found that difficult because he was coming home talking about work.
That's a really interesting point, isn't it? That's part of it. You sort of all that life you knew and could plug into previously. You don't have headspace or energy or
exactly,
even experience of it during those early days.
And your life's completely changed and his hasn't to the same, I mean, obviously has, but not to the same extent.
Yes. And so was he was supportive, and you,
yes,
how yeah. were you encouraged to go and find some help?
So I got an emergency GP appointment the next day. My mum came up the next morning, I think, or even possibly, so I can remember it being a Sunday, so Paul was at home all day, which was fine. Then I think actually his mum came early the next morning, because I just really didn't want to be on my own. It got to that point where I actually felt that I couldn't cope. So I think Paul's mum came and looked after the baby while I went to the doctors. And I actually saw a doctor who had specialised in emergency mental health, just by coincidence, which was amazing. Because I think the scariest thing of the whole time was I was sitting in that doctor's waiting room, and I thought, what if I go in and they say it's not depression?
What, that it was something else, or that you were at, that this is just the way life is?
Or just that it was normal, and yeah, no, just that this is the way life is.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be any solution to it. And then actually, obviously that didn't happen. And I was very receptive to taking medication, which I know some people aren't. And I think also because I stopped breastfeeding, it was an easier decision.
Yes. And so were you thinking of, obviously during this particular moment, you weren't thinking about going back to work, but what impact did it have on your return to work or not?
So I went back to the same, at that point, yes, at that point I did go back to the same job.
And did you go back when you thought you would?
So he was born at the beginning of June, and I think I'd always thought about 6 months would be enough for me. And I knew I definitely wanted to go back, but kind of how it fell in the year, I kind of felt there's not much points, obviously, going back before Christmas. And I think I went back probably at the beginning of February.
And did you talk to your employer?
So I talked to the HR manager, who I was actually very close to anyway.
And were they supportive, or did you feel, it's interesting you spoke to the HR manager who was friendly.
Yes, almost
did
like.
Did you talk to your manager
though? I'd always described her as, because obviously when I'd been ill in the year before as well.
Of course, yeah.
Kind of almost been through all of that with me.
Yes.
And she actually happened to phone me, because so I managed about 20 people at that time as well. And I think she'd phoned me literally the day after I had the diagnosis, because one of them, actually the person that was covering my maternity leave, resigned. So she kind of phoned A to tell me that, and B probably to find out what I was still thinking about doing. So at that point I just said, I can't talk about this because I've got no idea what's going to happen because I'm in this situation. But obviously I would have told her anyway. She's the only person I actively told around the time I was going back. Because by then I actually recovered quite quickly.
That seems, again, one of the themes that people, once they get the right help, that the recovery does seem to be quite quick, which is great for anyone listening and wondering whether or not to go and get some help.
Definitely. And I obviously had the medication. I was very lucky. I had good private health cover from my employer. So I actually had therapy very quickly as well.
Did you? Yeah. And did that help?
I think, yes, I think I only had 4 sessions, and I think that made a difference. I also had acupuncture that I'm a big believer in for various things. And my mum almost moved in with us. She'd kind of come Monday night and leave Thursday evening or Friday morning for, I think it was probably only about a month, and then kind of started gradually reducing the time. But I think there's kind of a month that I can't really remember at all.
Really? This was all before you went back to work.
This was all before I went back to work. This was, I'd say, when he was between 3 and 4 months. And I think he was 8 or 9 months by the time I went back. I went back they kind of offered me. And again, because there was someone else going back at a similar time. So I did 2 days a week for a month, 3 days a week for a month, 4 days a week for a month, I think. So it was quite
gradual.
So
sort of phased return. Yeah. And has it impacted your career, whether that's your own decisions, you know, whether it affected your confidence positively, negatively? And obviously you've gone on to be a major advocate of support for women and families.
I think what it did do was make it very clear to me that I did want to work, and I did want the time with my children, because I then had a second son 2 years afterwards. Quite quickly. And when I went back the second time, I went back part-time, because I was very clear, and I don't know if it's related to that experience or not, but that I do want a certain amount of time with them and to be there with them and for that to be quality time, but that for me as a person, I still need to work. I don't feel any guilt about prioritizing that to a certain extent, and I think it doesn't matter how much time I have with them, is kind of what you do with that time and focusing on the relationship. And I actually think with Rory, my older son, we've possibly got a closer relationship than we would have done if I hadn't gone through that with him. I almost feel like he's the one person that actually went through the whole experience with me.
Mm, mm. Kind of saw you at your lowest ebb.
Mm. And I think there was a lot of my stress was, I thought I didn't want him to be an only child. But I thought, I just can't go through this again at the time. And then once I've recovered, I actually thought, if I'm going to go through it again, I want to do it while he's still quite young. Because I thought that would impact him less than if he was older, if it happened again the second time. And actually the second time I was fine. Having gone through the second time, I realised how bad it was the first time. And then I did have obviously the normal sleep deprivation and everything. And actually there were times when other people thought the sleep deprivation was depression or anxiety coming back. And I think actually anxiety is something that has stayed with me to a certain extent. And again, recently it resurfaced kind of before we went into lockdown. And just again, the anticipation of us all being locked in the house, I got quite major anxiety. A lot of the things I've put in place to deal with it, like making sure I get time for myself and get out, and I do kind of yoga, meditation, because I know it's an underlying problem now. And it was almost like everything I put in place to cope with it, I wasn't going to be able to do.
And so how has that panned out?
It's actually been fine. I think, again, because I've got this awareness, I'm quite good at planning. So I am still making sure I get time to myself, and I do kind of all, you know, all the yoga's gone online. At the beginning, I was doing a lot of meditations when I was feeling very anxious. That helped a lot.
Tell me a bit about Cocoon. You're a trustee.
So it's quite a small charity. It's based in London. It offers support to families that are affected by maternal mental health issues. So I've been involved for about a year and a half.
And I think they're looking for some more support, aren't they?
We ideally need some more trustees to join us. And specifically, we need a chair at the moment and a secretary.
Well, maybe someone's listening. And if you want to find out more about that, we'll put the link to Cocoon in the show notes.
That would be great.
Well, thank you very much indeed for talking to me today. It's just fascinating. There are some common themes throughout all of the interviews, and yet it's obviously also so incredibly personal. So thank you for being really brave and sharing that with us.
Thanks, Jane.
I'm so grateful to Barty, Kate and Kathy for sharing very openly their experiences. And I hope that you've either found something that helps you and your own experience, or that you've just found it an interesting conversation. Please do leave a review. It's really, really helpful for us. And please share this episode as widely as you can. I think the more that we can talk about these issues, the more normal and easier it becomes for families to reach out and find the help and support that they need. I think the one thing that ran through all of the interviews was that when women and families did accept and go out and find the help was readily available, and quite quickly they were able to find the support that they needed. Thanks for listening today. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. For more information, join our Facebook group, Careering into Motherhood.